You're listening to Swimming World Radio at the NISCA 2011 Clinic in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Let's join Mike Adams in his first talk.
If we get everybody sitting down and not talking, Bob Schlegel, you want to join us? Really appreciate it, Bob. Come on, Bob, bring it back. I got to tell you, I am thrilled and really honored to be able to introduce Mike Adams, and that's why I would appreciate it if you'd all give him your full attention. Mike has been at Naperville Central High School in Naperville, Illinois, which is I call it a western suburb. Mike might have a better geographical location. He's won two state championships, three runner-up titles, 10 times. Besides that, he's been in the top 10, coached 70 All-Americans and 30 academic All-Americans. And in most cases, and I think this is one as well, the numbers don't tell the story, certainly don't tell the full story on Mike Adams. He is a highly respected coach in the state of Illinois. He coaches more than swimming. His teams are the type of folks you want to swim against, even when they beat you, because they're fine young men, and Mike has a tremendous influence on that, I know. When you move to a state like I did to Illinois, it doesn't take too long to figure out, no matter what the results the people are getting, it doesn't take too long to figure out who the really outstanding coaches are. And Mike Adams is one of those guys. I'm proud that we are both from the great state of Illinois. Of course, we both got there pretty late, but we ended up there. I was going to say Illinoisans, but it just doesn't have the ring of Texan, so I didn't say that. Mike Adams, Naperville Central, really excited to hear what he has to say to us.
It's great to be here. Thank you very much, Mark. I'm very honored to be here. I know Dana and Mark had asked me to speak here. And just so that you guys know, Mark, who introduced myself, just had an outstanding season. They won the state meet going away. And it's people like Mark Onstott that we try to live up to in our program. I've got two talks today. And I thought what we would do starting off would kind of be going over our weight program, if you will, and then also go over our underwaters, our power racks, what we do there, a little bit about our taper and nutrition. And then for the first talk, I also kind of want to go into some things that maybe I think have changed our program for the better. That's kind of a trial and error thing, if you will. The second talk is going to be, the first part is kind of going to be philosophy, and then we're going to kind of get into the water work, if you will. So without further ado, if you could, some of my talk is on the PowerPoint, some of it is from notes, so bear with me. First of all, with our weight training program, everybody in our program, we lift weights. We view it as a race car, our body that is. We try to fine-tune our engine in the water. We build our hydrodynamics in the weight room. We lift three times a week religiously, regardless of what our competition schedule is. In the past, sometimes competitions would get in the way of our weight training schedule, and I really felt that hurt us. We tried to lift on Saturday mornings before the meets. Did not get the type of intensity that I wanted out of the swimmers. So we lift Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. We alternate the different muscle groups that we lift with, and we stick to that religiously, and I think that that's really helped us out. There's a lot of talk out there as to whether weight training really does work, whether it doesn't. With the internet, there's, you know, I see people pull up things all the time. You don't need to lift. But all I need to know is Greg Troy a couple years ago in one of the ASCA newsletters said that, you know, if you're lifting, you're going to make phenomenal progress in the water. And in my mind, if Greg Troy is doing it, I'm doing it. So let's see. Yeah, if we can hit the second one. And I think I've talked about that a little bit. So we'll go to the third one. On our team, we have 45 swimmers, and they all lift after practice. We have, when I first started, you know, as far as in the weight room, we would have one or two coaches chasing after everybody. But now it's a situation where there's very little rest or off task, you know, sitting around talking. And we've shifted our program from, let's say, a traditional weight training program to one that I think, you know, focuses more on power. I try to have anywhere from 3 to 4 coaches in the weight room all the time to make sure that the swimmers are on task. I think that our program, we do some Nautilus, but we are more a free weight training program, if you will. When you're swimming in the water, you're swimming in a lot of different angles and planes. You're never really stationary, and as a result, we try to lift in any, you know, many different positions, if you will. Like I said, we're more of a free weight program. The first thing we're looking for is proper form, then we're looking for intensity, and we've had very, very few, if any, injuries in the weight room, which is a really, really good thing. The way we work our 14-week strength program, if you will, first 2 weeks are kind of, you know, we kind of figure out where we're at. It's kind of a base foundation, and then we kind of really get after it with what we call PHA, and I'll get into that in a little bit. Over Christmas break, because we're doing more yardage, everything else, you know, we kind of don't work quite as hard because, you know, we're swimming a little bit more, a little more recovery, a little more range of motion, a little more flexibility. And then after, you know, we get out of Christmas break, we have another week of base foundation. Then we hit the PHA again. And then we have a week of buffering. And then we start to peak and recover. I know traditionally people will drop weights, let's say, 3 weeks out. We try to gradually bring back the process. I felt that the kids are more focused. They maintain their strength, if you will. So our 12th week, more moderate reps and weights, maintain feel good strength. You know, the 13th week, that'd probably be the week of sectionals, light repetitions and weights, you know, mental rehearsal. And then our last week, it's pretty much stretching, no weights, you know, getting ready to swim fast. And again, that's for our state kids. For our non-state kids, that's an 11-week season, so they would start to cut back probably about week 8 or so. Shifting gears a little bit, I want to talk a little bit about the philosophy of what we do in the weight room, and then kind of go from there. We have what we call, you know, a PHA, if you will. It's peripheral heart. And what we try to do there is, a lot of times in the past with weight training, let's say we would go bench press and everybody would do a bench, and then we'd have somebody over here, you know, doing squats, or somebody here doing something else. And I really didn't feel we were getting what we needed to out of that. So what we've done is we shifted to a system where we'll have, let's say, somebody do 5 squats. And then somebody, once you're done with the squats, you're going to hit the abs. And then after that, you're going to be doing, let's say, bench rowing. And so let's say we'll do a set of 5 squats. You'll do 20 abdominals, and you'll go 12 bench rows. Okay, and you're going to repeat that whole set 4 or 5 times. And there's constantly no stopping when you're doing this. Okay, now it's kind of hard to orchestrate, if you will, but the philosophy behind it is you're trying to make your entire body stronger rather than just one area stronger. And we felt that if we can get the whole body, and we're hitting the whole body rather than just being specific, you know, hitting the upper, middle, lower all at once, it's basically buffering and you're teaching yourself to be strong in all areas. And we pretty much kind of do the same thing in the pool as well, but I'll talk about that in the second talk. And again, what we try to do is, you know, we'll have, let's say, three lifting days. We'll try to do what I just mentioned, the PHA, two out of the 3 days. That third day is more or less a, you know, plyometrics, maybe a stretching, maybe kind of like a recovery day, if you will, so that we're not too tired. I know that they say that you do not want to lift probably 2 days in a row. I'm aware of that. But due to the timing of our meets, a lot of times we swim on Friday night, a lot of times we swim on Saturday. We have what we do, we do the back-to-back, but we're able to make it work because we don't hit the same muscle groups. So, and what we do, you know, because we start off the season, and I'm sure it's you guys are like the rest of us, you know, we'd love to have all of our kids swimming and doing everything that they should be the other 9 months of the year. We all realize that that isn't really going to happen. At least that doesn't happen with a lot of my kids. So we kind of start off slow. So we, let's say with the squats, we might start off with, you know, your basic squats, but then as we get going and they get more in shape in the weight room, we might be doing explosive squats as we head down the road. So some more philosophy, if you will. Like I said, you know, we try to work the total body system. You know, we want, you know, active rest. We want intensity, and we also at times hit specific things. You know, again, we're freestanding with our upper and lower bodies. We do kneeling, sitting, lying exercises. We do stuff for the upper back, shoulders, abdominals, and then we do, you know, walking, running, jumping, stretching, anything that can really put the body at risk, not risk, but at, taxing the body, if you will. Again, it's comprehensive. We're changing emphasis all the time. You know, we have the interval factors so that we are not, you know, static in the weight room. We go from high intensity to low intensity, and we really feel that that's really helped strengthen our team. A couple of other components, if you will. You know, with what we're doing, we're trying to build as many capillaries as we can, getting the blood flowing to as many muscles as we can. And we feel that if we're doing that, we're really buffering our entire body system and not just working a specific area. A couple other things that we work on. We work on, you know, mobility, flexibility exercises. I mentioned abdominals, relaxation. The intensity factor is really, really important. You know, we're trying to develop strength. We're trying to develop hypertrophy. And again, you know, depending on your if you will, intensity, that will determine a lot of things. But the nice thing is the boys really buy into it. They really work hard. If we find, let's say, for example, that, you know, they're running a little bit ragged, that they're, you know, losing interest, then we'll change things up in the weight room as much as we possibly can. As we all know, the variety is the spice of life, and we try to do that as much as possible. A couple other things that I want to mention. You know, we find, again, just by hitting the different body groups all at once, that we're stronger in the water. And not only that, but we find that we're able to do more things in the weight room than what we thought we were possibly capable of. And it's worked out really, really well for us. So now that I'm off task, let me go over, yeah, thank you, Eve, you're right on it. No, that's fine. Some of the things, areas that we work on is, these are our main exercises, if you will. You know, we do squats, we do deadlifts in a variety of ways. We do a horizontal press, which would be a bench press or a push-up or a dip. Lots of rowing, if you will, horizontal, you know, inclined, that type of thing. We do a vertical push, you know, which is overhead, military press, and we do pull-ups. And then something that I kind of came up with, and I gave it to Dan Rumashek as a credit, but sometimes when in doubt, pick up a plate. One of the best things that we do, and the kids hate it, is we get a 25-pound plate, and that's for the kids that can lift a 25-pound plate. Some of them will actually lift 5 or 10 pounds. And what we'll do is we'll do a military press. Let's say they'll do 25 like so. And then they'll do bent arm rows. And then they'll do a chest press. Out slow, come back in. Then they'll do a bicep curl. Then they'll do a core rotation. Then they'll do what I call back starts, where they go from here all the way up. Then I'll have them lay down on the ground and, you know, do a back push. Now, they'll go through some crazy thing that I come up with for about 30 minutes, and they're drenched. Okay, so you know how, you know, the kids will work in the weight room and you're not really sure, you know, they say they did everything, but they're not sure they did everything. This is a really good way to do it. They're all lifting all at once, and it's a great way to, you know, get them in the type of athletic shape that you want them to get into. Let me talk a little bit about our underwater work, if you will. We spend, and I have a lot of my slides here, have a number of the exercises that we do. We spend a lot of time with our underwaters, and some of our guys are really, really good with it, and some of our guys are very, very average with it. The first thing is with the lane lines, and you have those little yellow markings or whatever markings they are in your pool. You know, we get on those guys every day about getting out there, and you know how it is. The guys are always like, you know, yeah, I know. But if you get on them enough, it'll work for you. Some of the things that we try to do is we'll get some of those poles and put them out in the middle of the pool, kind of secure them with rubber bands, if you will, and we'll do 25s where they're trying to get underneath there without using fins or zoomers. We streamline to the green line. I'm not a water polo player, but you know, like 4 or 5 years ago, we had this green line on our pool, and so it was a great thing, streamline to the green line, because it's out there. As you know, Texas Kick is really, really good. That's, you know, an Eddie Reese type of training. Another thing we do is we'll do widths, and this works out well in a variety of pools. Sometimes we have to use North Central College because our pool has meets, and North Central is a 4-lane pool. So what we'll do is we'll get on the side of the pool and we'll go widths for, let's say they'll go be 15 seconds under the water. They're not under for 15. It's actually about 7 or sometimes 10. They'll come up. They'll rest 5 seconds. And we'll do about 15 minutes of that. Now, if they're having problems, you know, hypoxically, you know, we tell them, you know, if you're done, please do not black out. That's not what we want you to do. But, you know, it works your, you know, breathing patterns, and it helps those underwaters, whether they want to or not. As we were preparing here, I heard this young man over here talk about the monofin, and I'm grateful to hear that there are the ones that are not like the shark fins that cut everybody up, but we have our guys, you know, if they can, 1,000 to 1,500 yards a week. We'd like to do more with the monofins, but because they're so expensive and because they cut up all the kids, we've only been able to limit it to certain people on our team. We do under-overs with fins, underwater 25s, and then this one, rockets. Kids like to do this in a diving well where they push or go under, push off the bottom, and they kick and accelerate and try to get their body up out of the water, kind of like Flipper. I'm showing my age for those of you that remember that show. But at any rate, you know, it's kind of a nice variety in the program. But we spend a lot of time on that, and it works out pretty well for us. Another thing that we do power-wise is we have power racks, and I don't think Sam Van Cura is here, but we started with one. Now we have three, and we have three swimmers on it who do 20 reps, one swimmer every 20 seconds. They're on the power rack for 30 minutes. Some of them want to be on there longer, but I usually don't let them. The power rack is a privilege. It's for swimmers that double in our program. And what I've done is I've been able to get a parent to volunteer on one day who comes in and times the kids. And you know how kids are. They are they try to milk it for as long as they can and, you know, tell, you know, everybody, you know, the stories and everything. But the parents are usually pretty good. And it's a way to get your parents involved without getting them too involved, if you know what I'm saying. It's a good way for get them to do something without really being telling you what to do and that type of thing. With our power rack, we usually go free and specialty, and we also go underwater with fins and without fins. We try to get them on the power rack probably twice a week. And I like the power rack because it works the ATP CP system, going back to Ernie McLishko. I know that there are some other racks that go 25 yards. But that's really not for high school what we're trying to train. So I'm moving to our taper, if you will. And we basically, our team tapers usually for about 3 weeks. During that time, we do a set warm-up for the kids. The reason we do a set warm-up is because if you're at the state meet or at a meet and the kids somehow you're interrupted because you have to go somewhere, I want the kids to know exactly what they need to do in the water. We tend to warm up, I would say, I'm going to guess here, maybe a little bit more than your average team, just because I think they need to warm up. You know, they just can't get in and go a 200 and they're ready to go, even though they think they're ready. And then the other thing I have on a taper is, if you're not in a weight room, you might want to think about a two-week taper, because that's been my experience. You know, when we haven't lifted as much, you know, maybe our three-week tapers haven't worked as well as I would like. You know, the taper is dependent upon, you know, your individual athlete. Obviously, the more muscled, you know, the more rest, how much, you know, they're doing in the weight room, how much, you know, they're doing in the water. The other thing that you know, I want to mention as far as tapers, and I don't know if this is right or wrong, but I think it's right, is, you know, I think a lot of times, you know, with the schedule that we have, I have to be careful that our kids don't get too tired. And sometimes if I see that they're, you know, too tired, I'll give the team a what I call a rest cycle. So if we're swimming, let's say, four mornings a week, I might give them a morning off. Or like over Christmas break, you know, we're going at it pretty good. I think we took like a day and a half. You know, there was a day we could have trained, and I gave them that off. Not because I want to, but because I think their bodies need it. And I think that most of the kids will use that as an opportunity to make sure that they're resting for the end of the year. As far as a taper goes, we look at it as a window of opportunity versus a specific time and place. I like to call our taper a window taper, and what I mean by a window taper, it's, okay, you're going to swim fast, sectional, state, senior state, and junior nationals. That's really what we're trying to do, because, you know, obviously the more success they're having at all the different levels of meets, the better off it's going to be for their overall performance. And I know that we had a couple kids at juniors that, you know, swam very, very well, especially in their 200s of stroke, and, you know, they're fired up, you know, because they only thought they could be, you know, be a 100 breaststroker. So that works out pretty well for us as well. During our taper, we try to maintain our aerobic conditioning, constantly working on speed and pace, be careful as far as dive sets during the taper, if you will. And I go back to one of my very first years coaching. I was an assistant, and it was 2 days before the championship meet, and we're doing dive 100s, and they're swimming out of their minds, and we went to the meet, and we did not swim out of our minds. And I don't know what the psychological or physiological reason for that, but you don't want to leave your swimming in the pool. So, you know, if you need to get a little bit of work in, I would do an odd distance, something that, you know, you might not time, just to make sure that you're hooked into those energy systems that need to go. But definitely do not do race distances, I'd say 5 to 7 days away, because you're going to leave your swimming in the pool, and we definitely don't want to do that. During the taper, you know, sometimes, you know, your kids will look great. Sometimes your kids will not look so good. You have to be calm and tell your swimmers that everything's going to work out fine, even though you in your own mind may not think so. I can remember we had a swimmer who swam at Naperville North. This had to be 15, 20 years ago, and I used to coach him during the summer. And the more rest he received, the worse he felt, the worse he looked in the water. But the worse he felt for him, I knew he was going to be amazing. Okay, in his senior year, he's driving his high school coach nuts, and I said, don't worry, he's going to be insanely great, and he was. So, you have to be careful with that. You have to talk them off the ledge sometimes, but, when in doubt, rest. And again, you've got to maintain confidence regardless of, how bad they look. The other thing with the taper, and this goes into diet and nutrition, is, and I'm going to kind of cover this into the next talk, is be careful that your state team, and this is my opinion, is not too fast at your sectional meet, not too fast at your conference meet, and this is kind of my philosophy. We try to swim well at the end of the year. That's our focus. And the great thing about swimming, you can swim well basically anywhere you want during your season. But for us, our goal is to swim well at the end of the year. And so sometimes you've got to be careful that your state team is not too fast at sectionals. This year, unfortunately, we lost a couple kids at sectionals, did not get through because of that. But I think for the state meet, I think it was the right move. And it's just a focus that, I think you need to have. I think another thing that, has really helped us, if you will, is that we've really worked on proper nutrition. And we kind of have invested, if you will, in the Barry Sears, the zone diet type of thing. We try to stay away from what we call dirty diesel. And dirty diesel is, you have your kids, they like their McDonald's and their chocolate shake and they swim out of their minds, okay? And no matter what you do, you can't convince them to change anything. But we've tried to get them away from pop. We try to get them to, eat proper protein, fruits, vegetables, all during the season. Our philosophy, if you will, you're not going to put dirty diesel into, a stock car or when you're racing at Daytona. And, a lot of our kids buy into it, and I think it's really made a difference in our performance. A couple other things that I want to cover here. And like I said, I've coached 19 years in one spot, and some of the things that I think have gone, really well for us. I think, if you can talk to Sam Van Cura, the Power Rack is a really good tool. If you can, a lot of times there are college coaches that are looking to unload those because they don't spend, the time or effort with them. That would be a good investment. Another thing that we do, we use the VASA trainers, but I use them not so much for pulling, but I have kids push off the walls with the VASA trainers. I think that that really works on explosive legs, if you will, and it's also helped our underwaters as well. We swim, and this will be in my next talk, we go 4 a.m.s during the week, and we used to go 3 a.m.s, but I think that we were swimming too fast during the year, and so that has helped us, with our focus on the end of the year. Another thing that we like to do is we like to give out awards, if you will. We give out what we call Swimmer of the Meat pins if swimmers have a good swim. And we give that out to our entire team. We usually give those out during our Monday meetings. And it keeps everybody focused, everybody involved. And whether you swam a 35 and a 50 free or a 25, everybody feels good and belongs to your program. I think another thing that is good is that we try to talk to our kids a lot about what they're capable of and what they can do both as individuals and as a team. And again, I'm going to talk about that a little bit more, but my experience, today's athlete, it's not kind of the way it was when we were all growing up, where you're told what to do and you better do it because that's the way you do it and everybody else does it. Today's athlete Even though they have all these outside influences and they can do this and that, they really need an adult figure, in my opinion, to talk to them about how good they can be and, you know, what they're capable of. And I think if you take that approach, you can get a lot out of your athletes. I see some people just get on kids all the time, and I think it's a mistake. And I think they're leaving a lot of good swimming and a lot of good athletes by the wayside when, you know, if you bring them along, you can get a lot of good things out of them. I think the other thing that we do is I have a lot of good volunteer assistants, people who have swam in our program. You know, let's say they can only come in one night a week. I have, he's a fourth grade teacher. He comes in one night a week. He works with our very, very beginning level kids. He does a magnificent job. He's worth coming in there and working with those kids. Teaches them starts, turns, and finishes. He's a former swimmer, former captain. He can only come one night a week. That's great. So I try to have, you know, those people come in, and they help out immensely. They're also flattered to come in. They can, you know, they also reinforce what you're trying to do. I've done this. It works. You can do it too. We spend with our sprinting, we do a lot of quality in our program, and we start with this right away, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in my next talk. And a couple other things that we do that I think are very beneficial. We try to film our kids as much as possible, both at practices and at meets. Nothing is better than doing that. I also try to talk with as many people as I can. You know, I was talking to Bob Steele last night, who's given me a lot of great ideas about, you know, what I can do to be better. And, you know, I've talked to a number of people over the years about, you know, if you're having trouble in a certain stroke or distance, you know, feel free to talk to some of these guys. They're all very, very gracious, you know, about it. I've been doing that for 10, 15 years, and they're just fabulous. I know when I'm getting back from this talk, I'm going to be talking with one of the coaches in our area. Don't be afraid to do that. I think another thing, and you know, this may be controversial here, but I'll say anyway, I know Mark will back me on this, but through most of the season, we swim with two suits on, or we swim with a drag suit. I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that. That was the wrong thing to say. No, I shouldn't say that. No, we swim with the drag suit on, right, Mark? So we swim with the drag suit on. It's a personal preference because, again, our goal is for the end of the year. So we swim with the drag suit on. I think that works very well for us. I think the other thing, too, in our sport is, you know, you have to be patient with your athletes. Athletes develop at different levels at different times. There have been kids that, you know how it is, you know, you start. You know, it's like, boy, I don't know this, you know, I don't know what, and then, you know, he does this, then he moves on here, then he does here. Just be patient with them. They'll come through for you. Another thing that we do, we mix up our lineups at all the different meets. A lot of times if I see something in the water and I think somebody can swim a stroke, they're going to do it, and usually it works out pretty well. Try to get away from that. I'm a 50 freestyler. I only swim 50 free because that doesn't really always work. By swimming all the different strokes, you make yourself better in the 50 free. Another thing that we do, and I think it works out pretty well for us, are they giving out rub downs here at the NCAA meet? Really? Okay, because I haven't seen it. But we do that. We do it for all of our kids, especially at the DVC level. That's where our first championship level meet is. And that works out really, really well for us. It helps bring those kids. They feel special and important. We have, I think, 4 rub-down tables with 4 rub-down specialists. And it really helps set the tone for our entire season. And then last but not least, something that we try to do is, you know, we try to be an ambassador for our sport. There's a lot of really, really good coaches in Illinois, a lot of really, really good swimmers. Try to go around and, you know, mention to them if they had a good swim or this or that. It's very, very important that they know that they're doing a good job, and that's what we try to do. I've kind of gone through this a little bit quick. So if you have questions, feel free to ask. Dana.
Could you elaborate on two things? One, for those that aren't familiar with the Texas CARE thing, and secondly, would you elaborate on your what you consider a longer than normal warm-up?
Sure.
So you do have cool space, and also how do you handle warm-up and cool-down when the meet is at a facility that doesn't have a separate facility?
Okay, very good. Texas kick is where you're kicking butterfly kick on your back with your arms at your side. And you're working the core as you're doing that, and that is what we consider Texas kick. And, you know, instead of, we might go, I don't know, 15, 20, 50s like that, where you're going Texas kick and your better butterflyers do it. Even though the other kids, some of the, you're going to have some kids that do not do a very good Texas kick. By working at it, it helps them get better using those muscles and working their underwaters. As far as our longer warm-up goes, when we get to the end of the year, we usually go about 1,800. I think our longer warm-up is something along the lines of like 300 free, 300 non-free. Then we might go 950s IM switch. And then depending, I kind of alter it on certain days, we'll do like 1625s, easy, fast, fast, easy build and sprint, just to make sure they're getting some speed work in. And then after that, I'm trying to think, where are we at? Then probably, then after that, I'm sorry, 650s to send one to three, three free, three non-free. And again, none of this is really hard. But what it does is it's warming them up, and then we might do one or two dive 25s after that. And that gets them into a rhythm of what we want them to do. As far as warming up or not warming up, when we're swimming at New Trier, we have to, you know, swim during the 15-minute break at the 50 and 500. And thankfully, Joe Plack this year, we had a swim-off, was able to allow us to warm down for 20 minutes after the meet, because they were not going to do that this year. We had a swim off. The pool needs to be closed for 45 minutes. Joe and Ron McGraw, to their credit, allowed the entire state to swim down, which was a really good move for our entire state. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What is the swimmers that double?
Oh, I'm sorry. That would be if they're coming to morning practice and then afternoon practice. And with our schedule, if you will, it's a taxing schedule. And for example, if the kids need time for homework, you know, I understand that. I'm willing to sit down with everybody, you know, whatever your schedule, tell me when you're going to be here. That's great. But sometimes the kids will be, you know, are not really good that way. So if some of the kids are making an effort to double, then they'll be on the power rack. But, you know, some of the kids that are going singles, they don't like that. But on the other hand, I want it to be, you know, a privilege, if you will. There are other teams that really only the kids that are swimming on your relays are going to be on the power rack. So it really becomes an elitist thing. This way, it's, you know, if you're going to put the time in, then you're going to be rewarded. Other questions? Yes, ma'am.
Do you have any kind of attendance requirements?
Would you repeat the question?
Yes. Would you mind repeating?
Do you have attendance requirements?
To be on the team, you've got to be there once a day. If you're going to be a varsity swimmer, you probably need to be there in double, if you will. With the great thing about high school swimming, and this is not a slam at USS swimming, but the boys really invest in it. You know, they want to be there. They're there. It is rare that I have to make a phone call at home at whatever, 4:30 in the morning. That's extremely rare. So they want to be there. In fact, there are times when they're there that it's like, you know what, you really don't look good. You need to go home. And, no. And you know, not physically, but you know what I mean? I have to talk them down. You need to go home. You don't look good. That's usually not the case. And it's just, you know, I've been there 19 years, and I think that the kids know They want to be there. I can't explain what I'm saying. You know, I'll try to in the next talk, but attendance has really not been a problem. But as long as you brought it up, when I first started, we probably had 3 to 5 swimmers doubling, and now it's probably 27 to 35 on any given day. And it's just something that, you know, it kind of builds upon itself. And even if you have 1 or 2 warriors, you start there, and then it'll gradually progress. Yes, sir.
You do a lot of drill work.
I do.
Do you use it as a recovery piece, or how does that work for you?
Well, I can address a little of that now. I was going to address it in the second part, but we usually drill like every other day. We'll have, you know, we kind of rotate between kicking and drilling, but we do drills to maintain their feel. And yes, it is a recovery thing. When we do it, you know, it might be something really simple like 36-25s or 18-50s, and it's on really easy send-offs. But it acts as a recovery, but it also is really, really good as far as their feel for the water. So yes, we usually drill, you know, 2 to 3 times a week. Something else that we do, and I'm a little ahead of myself, is I don't know if any of you do fist gloves at all, but you know, I tried this, I want to say maybe 5 or 6 years ago. I saw, I don't know how many of you know Mark Hesse, who used to be at, where was he at? North Central, and I think he's in Crawfordsville right now. At any rate, I saw him do it. I went home, I got a pair of fist gloves on, tried it myself. The next day, that my forearms were aching for 3 days. I'm like, well, there's something really to this. And the thing I like about the fist gloves is when I swim backstroke and it's not very good, I'm usually 12 strokes a lap. When I take, you know, would take the fist gloves off, I go 9 strokes a lap. So it really, there's some carryover as far as feel for the water there. Other thoughts, questions, comments? I'm a little short, so. Yes?
Average, just going strictly by yards doesn't mean a whole lot, depends on how you do, but how much total yardage for mid-season practice, how much warm-up, how much cool-down, and the guts?
I'm not a big yardage guy. We'll probably get in for warm up, you know, whatever it is, 100 splash, because you know how guys are, let's be honest. And then, you know, I usually after that, like, you know, 1500 structured warm up, you know, it might be a build into type of set. Then we usually do a main set, and then, like,